Welcome to the blogcast Mujeres Fronterizas. My name is Denise Moreno Ramirez, and this is the next installment in a series for the Sky Island Alliance, featuring women in conservation and environmental science in the borderlands. For today's episode, I am joined by Faith Ramon. Faith Ramon is an enrolled member of the Tohono O'odham Nation and is currently the Tucson Environmental Justice Campaign Manager for Arizona Center for Empowerment and its sister organization, Living United for Change in Arizona. She identifies as a mother, grandmother, a felon in recovery, a survivor of domestic violence, and an indigenous woman who will no longer be silenced by systems of oppression. Faith is also the secretary and treasurer for the Native American Education Program for Sunnyside School District, as well as the secretary for the Native American Church of Southern Arizona Chapter. She holds pride in representing her lineage, advocating for basic human rights, setting up the next generation for success, protecting plant medicines, and the sacredness of elements used in ceremony. Hello, Faith. I'm so excited to talk to you on this edition of the podcast Mujeres Fronterizas. I'm very, very interested in learning where you were born and raised.
I was born on the Tohono O'odham Nation, South Arizona. I was raised on the reservation, but my upbringing from teenage to mid-adult life has been here in Tucson.
Can you tell me how it was to grow up in the reservation?
Yeah, so growing up on the reservation, I come from a very big family. I have seven biological sisters that I had grew up with. Of course, my story is different growing up on the reservation. My family or my parents separated at a very young age. I was probably about seven. From what I remember, my father and my mother were very rooted in our traditional culture on the reservation. My dad and my mom are both well known for their traditional arts and crafts, and also very known members of our nation. But after the separation, I was brought up in boarding schools and tribal group homes and living with relative to relative until I moved here as a young teenager.
And so tell me your experience then growing up also here in Tucson.
I adapted really quick to my environment. I always enjoy, you know, leaving the reservation, even if it was just to come to get groceries, visit family. But I was actually like going to be living in Tucson. I remember going to like my first school, and it was very diverse, and everyone was so interesting to me, who they are, where they came from, some of their own cultures and beliefs. But to see another person of color like me was like finding a jewel in a haystack. Just to see another autumn in my school, like I needed to know who this person was and who they are and if they're related to me. Thinking everyone is related, you know, just because we come from the same nation or somehow or another, we it always aligns like that. Someone knows someone and, you know, building relationships like that.
Can you walk me through your career journey, like from your first job to where you're now?
Ooh, okay. So my first job, I decided to apply for my very first job. I was a new mom. I was still in high school, my senior year. So I was a very young mom. And I only had a few jobs in my journey. My first, I'll never forget, I was a crew member at Whataburger. And then I had two jobs. So I was a crew member and I was a telemarketer through my entire senior high school year. After high school, I worked at the Desert Diamond Casino as a cashier up until I had my second daughter. And then decided I was going to go back and work for my nation. So I made a 70-mile commute for almost 10 years from Tucson to the Thonautom Nation. I worked as a juvenile detention shift officer for the nation. And then I had my last child and I decided I'm not going to go back. I want to be a mom. I want to be a stay-at-home wife. My son was attending a pre-K program and I got to volunteer my time in the classroom. And when he transitioned out of his program, they offered me a Head Start teacher position. So I was a Head Start teacher for 4 years. I wanted to be the head teacher. And so I went back to school for early childhood development. And during that time, life had its own plans for me. I had a little shift in some of my goals that I had for myself. So I took about a 5-year break within that time, within 5 years. And then in 2018, I walked into the Lucha office here in Tucson and walked into an office full of banners and graphics for justice, but there was one poster in particular that got my attention, and it said, "No border wall." And so since then, that very next day, I've been advocating by Lucha and ACE, Living United for a Change in Arizona, and Arizona Center for Empowerment, advocating for social, racial, and economic justice for all through grassroots organizing. I've been a seasonal canvasser. I've been a People's First Economy organizer for the past 3 years. And I'm currently the environmental justice campaign manager. So those are like pretty much all of my paid journey.
What a journey for sure, Faith. And to tell you the truth, I feel that all your positions prepared you to what you're doing now. And I think that like the work that you're doing now is so fabulous. So seriously, what a great journey you shared with us. And do you think that living in where you grew up, living in the town you grew up, did you think that it influenced your current position or what you do in the environmental realm?
I do. Moving back home, going back home and actually leaving my home as a pretty much a child still, and then transitioning into like urban native area and in the city where everything is moving, and then going back home where things are still, but there was a lot of things that I wasn't aware of. So being able to be from the Thonautom Nation and to see the injustice that was happening there paved a way for my self-interest to like know that this is where I'm supposed to be.
I totally get it. Like those experiences, right? As either young individual or those like times that you realize, wow, this is actually happening in my community is really impactful. And so then what inspired you to pursue your career and your journey in environmental science and environmental justice? Like how did it all get started?
Where it started or what sparked an interest is during the time when I had relocated and went back home to the Thonautom Nation, when I took the break was, you know, caused by a divorce I was going through, which led me to a lot of poor decisions coping with depression and grief. And it was a domino effect that happened. Every single thing happened after I made those poor decisions were all downhill. I lost my job. I lost my vehicle. I lost my child, my children, myself. And so I had a moment where I had to make a decision, like, this is not the person I'm supposed to be. I went to the police academy, you know, and here I am doing all this criminal activity and poisoning my body. So I needed to get myself in order. I was looking for sobriety. I went to an intake on my reservation. And I remember part of the intake process, the person who was doing my intake told me, there's a sweat lodge happening right now. You should go. A sweat lodge is pretty much like a sauna. It's a ceremony to purify all the toxins that we put into our body using natural elements, fire and water. And so I went, and I'm so grateful I went, because I was looking for every excuse not to go. But as soon as I knew there was a lodge going on, and as soon as I stepped out of the building, I smelt the fire. I smelt it, and it led me to the lodge. And there was one man speaking, and there was a group of elders there. Still questioning, you know, should I be here? Should I just go home? I don't have a ride. I don't have no clothes. I don't know anybody. Am I really looking for sobriety? All these questions. But I went, and there was one man speaking. I felt like I was the youngest one in the space, but that was the very first time I heard a border wall conversation happening. And I just sat down quietly. I heard about this border wall construction gonna be happening through this on the 63 miles that we share with the Mexican border. I couldn't envision it. I couldn't. My family comes from a traditional, very traditional. We still practice our ceremonial runs, our ceremonial pilgrimage. One of our sacred sites has an opening to Shtrdaguaya, which is green wells. We can go freely, you know, there. And I couldn't imagine it, but we went into the lodge, sitting in darkness, and all I heard was cries and prayer about the land, about the water, about the animals that this would affect. And I found something bigger than myself. I found an issue that was bigger than me, that it was healing, but it also activated a sense of like, what can I do? How can I help? And so I talked to the elder, and he was from United Nations. And he told me, gave me all the information that I needed, what was going on. But still, he told me, if you want to learn more, we're having a meeting, and then we're going to have a protest at the federal court building. And so I went to that. I went to the meeting. From there, I did my own little research. I went to the rally. I started learning more. I started advocating for our land. I started advocating for my family. I started advocating for our sacred site and for the land and the water. And that sparked my interest on, we need to do something. We need to do something. I need to do something. I need to take action. And it had to start with me. That's how my spark came. But through the work of Lucha and Ace, I was able to get my organizing experience and know that this fight is possible. It is possible. Through the work, I've been communicating and educating our community about not only land and water, but voter suppression, about what the state budget looks like for Tucson, how we can create solutions to our everyday life that's pretty much meant for us to fail. And so that's what I've been doing, and that's how I got here. That's how educating, or actually not only educating, but listening to our community of the environmental justice that has been happening. That's pretty much how our Guardians of the Water was developed, is we took time out and we listened to the injustice, and it was water issues that were happening here in Tucson. And because it's happening across our city, we have collected the data, created some priorities, now developing policies that we can introduce for this year's state budget, but also building trust.
Thank you for all you do, Faith, because it's been a joy attending those meetings. And so what challenges have you faced along the way developing this environmental justice program and guarding the water?
I would say one of the biggest challenges, like I mentioned, like the trust. Because of the environmental injustice that has been happening here in Tucson, our community, money didn't give them justice. Money didn't give them justice for the deaths and the illness that has been happening. And so for ACE, Arizona Center for Empowerment, coming into the community, listening to our members, but also providing a sense of hope that this is what we're doing, this is what we're leading, because there has been a number of organizations like us that come to the community and try to offer them and then disappear and they don't hear from them. And so we're in this work for the long run. We're working on developing trust within our community, having one-to-one conversations, celebrating them by bringing them together, sharing the information that we had. The overall biggest issue that I am seeing and that the program is seeing is that we have leaders that don't believe in science. They don't believe in climate change. They don't believe it even when they're feeling it. And so being able to introduce this legislation to members that don't believe in it has been the most challenging part.
So how do you stay motivated and focus on all these goals, Faith?
The main thing that keeps me motivated is organizing experience with the People's First Economy. PFE has been a live, moving campaign that is focusing on issues like housing and education and a pathway to citizenship, family paid medical leave. And so when that campaign was developed, and through the work of the other organizers within ACE and Lucha, was we did the footwork to make sure that our priorities were heard. We built members within our community. We built trust within our community. And we took that to the legislative house. And we've seen the wins. We've seen historical wins of $1 billion going into education, of $225 million going into the housing trust fund. And so I know that our organizing efforts we're doing today is going to pave the way for a historical win for us. And so that's what keeps me motivated, is because I did the work, we did the work, the community, the members, my team with Lucha and ACE, we did the work as well as our champions. And so that's what gives me hope, is the my organizing experience and the history that we have made in the past 3 years. As well as now I'm an adult. Like I was like trying to, this December I'm taking break, and I was like, I feel so grown when I'm booking my flight and I'm looking for hotels, and I have grandchildren now. You know, I have two beautiful grandsons, and I want to make sure that we're setting this generation up for success by making sure that, you know, education, housing, yes, they are important, but those issues wouldn't matter, or we wouldn't even survive here if we didn't have clean water and clean air. So that's kind of the heart of the work, and what keeps me motivated is setting up our generation to thrive.
Ultimately, all those issues are tied, right? They might not say environment, but just housing, all those things that are socioeconomic are tied completely to the environment. So it's good that you're doing that work. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, you know, the People's First Economy is an umbrella of the work that we're doing, and environmental justice is pretty much the fabric. Everything is aligned, everything intersects, everything is connected in a way of we need to protect our Mother Earth in order for us to have house, to have education, to have family pay sick leave, you know, to have affordable daycare. It's all centered around making sure our Mother Earth is protected.
And so I'm sure there's a lot of audience members that are relating to you, because one of the things I'm learning that now that I'm speaking out as a woman from Ambos Nogales and from the border region, there's a lot of people that can relate to us as growing up in these areas or being impacted by this type of contamination. So what advice would you give someone that's starting their career and is hearing this podcast and wants to start work in the field that you do or trying to do work in environmental justice?
My advice would be for any issue, environmental justice, anything that sparks your self-interest, is to get involved and to get engaged. You can become a member of Arizona Center for Empowerment, for Living United for a Change in Arizona, joining our membership team on our website, connecting with the organizer, knowing what's going on in your community, and actually, like, not only knowing of these, but knowing who is behind them, knowing how the system is working, and knowing that you have the power to make decisions for your community. And also not forgetting the hope in the process. We need to be able to motivate, especially our young folks who are more connected into technology and making a way for this work to be fun, to be engaging, to be promising, but to be motivating, because our next generation, they have so much knowledge and energy. I would say if anyone listening to this would just be mindful of how much water you are using in your own home, your own daily lives. And one of the things that a member had mentioned in one of our listening sessions, when he was kind of like talking about, like, water is not talked about enough. We're our own water abusers in our own way. And we hope that every time we turn the faucet, that water is going to come out. And I sat with that for a bit, and I was like, imagine a day where we didn't have any water. How will we use it? How will we value it? It's the main source of our life. Just be mindful of that. Also, the development within the city, every single thing has to do with an activator of water. And so getting involved, not giving up, and becoming a member, that would be my advice in the environmental justice career field, is to stay engaged.
Thank you so much, Faith, for sharing your journey and your story with us today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode of Mujeres Fronterizas. We look forward to bringing more stories of women in conservation in the borderlands in the new year. Thank you to the Sky Nana Alliance, Amy, Christian, Louise. Stay tuned next year, where we'll have more stories in February about women in the border. Hasta pronto.